Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Invisible Doctrine: The Secret History of Neoliberalism is a concise nonfiction work by journalist and environmental activist George Monbiot, co-authored with filmmaker Peter Hutchison. It examines neoliberalism as a political and economic doctrine that has shaped public life for decades while remaining strangely hard to name in everyday debate. The book is not a neutral history of policy, but a critical analysis of how ideas about markets, privatization, deregulation, and individual competition were organized into a powerful worldview and then normalized through institutions, media, and politics. Its purpose is explanatory as well as corrective to show that neoliberalism is neither natural nor inevitable, and to make visible the systems of power behind it. Written in an accessible style, it aims at general readers who want a clear account of why inequality, weakened public services, and democratic erosion are linked rather than separate crises. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how neoliberalism was built as a political project, not a natural economic law. A central argument of the book is that neoliberalism should be understood as a constructed ideology rather than an inevitable result of free markets. Monbiot traces its development back to early 20th century thinkers such as Ludwig von Mises and Friedrich Hayek, then follows its rise through post-war networks that promoted market fundamentalism. The book emphasizes that ideas do not simply spread on their own. They are carried by institutions, funded campaigns, and strategic narratives that make them seem common sense. This matters because once neoliberalism is seen as a human-made project, its authority becomes open to challenge. The book uses that historical framing to undo the impression that privatization, deregulation, and tax cuts for the wealthy are politically neutral choices. Instead, they appear as decisions made by organized interest seeking to restructure society in their favor. That shift in perspective is one of the book's main analytical contributions because it moves the reader from accepting the doctrine to examining the machinery that sustained it. Secondly, the role of think tanks, media influence, and political networks in spreading the doctrine. The book gives considerable attention to the infrastructure that helped neoliberalism become dominant, rather than presenting it as a spontaneous intellectual trend. Monbiot and Hutchison describe a deliberate ecosystem of think tanks, business-backed organizations, political operatives, and sympathetic media outlets. Groups such as the Institute of Economic Affairs are important in this account because they show how policy ideas can be polished, repeated, and distributed until they seem inevitable. The authors are especially interested in how language is managed. If an ideology remains unnamed, it is harder to criticize. That is why the book treats invisibility as a political advantage, not just a communication failure. By tracing how elites shaped public debate, the book explains how neoliberalism entered mainstream politics across party lines. This institutional focus gives the book practical value, since it shows that ideology is maintained through networks, funding, and repetition, not only through election results. Readers come away with a clearer understanding of how power operates behind the scenes in democratic societies. Thirdly, how deregulation, privatization, and austerity reshape everyday life. The book argues that neoliberalism is not just an abstract theory about markets. Its effects are visible in daily life through the weakening of public institutions and the transfer of value from the many to the few. Monbiot links deregulation, privatization, and austerity to concrete social harms such as wage stagnation, underfunded public services, labor exploitation, and rising inequality. The book also connects these policies to environmental damage, suggesting that when profit is treated as the overriding principle, ecological limits are routinely ignored. One of its strengths is the way it ties together crises that are often discussed separately, including child poverty, social fragmentation, and the deterioration of healthcare, education, and infrastructure. This is an important analytical move because it prevents readers from blaming each failure on isolated causes. Instead, the book argues that these outcomes are related expressions of a single governing logic. That logic privileges corporate freedom over social well-being and treats public goods as obstacles to efficiency. The result is a society where insecurity is normalized and collective institutions are steadily hollowed out. Fourthly, why neoliberalism weakens democracy and strengthens corporate power. Another major theme is the relationship between neoliberalism and democratic decline. The book argues that when markets are elevated above all other social values, elected government is pressured to serve corporate interests rather than public ones. This creates a political system in which formal democracy remains intact, but real power becomes concentrated in private hands. Monbiot and Hutchison describe how wealthy actors can shape policy through lobbying, funding, and influence over institutions that are supposed to represent the public. The book treats this as a structural problem, not merely a matter of corrupt individuals. It also suggests that the social consequences of neoliberalism help produce political instability, alienation, resentment. and insecurity make authoritarian or demagogic politics more likely. In this sense, the book connects economic doctrine to broader democratic erosion. It is not simply arguing that markets have side effects. It is arguing that an economic ideology built around competition and privatization can steadily undermine the conditions needed for meaningful citizenship, shared decision-making, and public accountability. Lastly, the call for a politics of belonging and stronger public commons, the book does not end with critique alone. It points toward an alternative politics centered on belonging, cooperation, and shared public goods. Drawing on the idea that people are capable of mutual aid and social connection, Monbiot argues for a rewinding of politics away from atomization and competition. This alternative is presented as a response to the loneliness and social fragmentation that neoliberalism intensifies. The emphasis on commons is important because it broadens the idea of value beyond private ownership and consumer choice. Public resources, civic participation, and community institutions are treated as foundations of a healthier society rather than relics of an outdated welfare state. This section gives the book its forward-looking dimension and distinguishes it from critiques that stop at diagnosis. The proposed alternative is not a fully developed policy blueprint, but it does offer a coherent direction: rebuild democratic life through participation, protect shared resources, and replace market competition as the dominant social model. That makes the book useful not only as a critique of neoliberalism, but also as an invitation to imagine a different civic order. In conclusion, Invisible Doctrine will be most useful to readers who want a compact, accessible explanation of how neoliberalism became such a powerful force in modern politics and economics. It is especially relevant for readers interested in public policy, inequality, labor, environmental politics, and the decline of democratic trust. The book stands out because it does not treat neoliberalism as a vague label for everything disliked about contemporary capitalism. Instead, it follows the doctrine through its intellectual origins, institutional promotion, and social consequences, making the ideology itself the object of analysis. Compared with broader books on economic history, it is shorter and more direct, which makes its argument easier to grasp for general readers. Compared with purely academic critiques, it is more public-facing and intentionally readable, while still aiming at structural explanation rather than surface-level commentary. Its main value is that it helps readers connect issues that are often discussed separately: privatization, austerity, media influence, inequality, alienation, and democratic decay. For anyone trying to understand why so many crises seem linked, this book offers a clear and forceful framework for seeing those connections. If you would like to support George Monbiot, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.